Okay. Well, first of all, you got me live. Okay, we were working on that. So before we get it keyed up, Brother Cody, after what I just sat through, I think I need to sit down. I don't need to talk. You don't need to preach, but we need to pass that bucket and take an offering. Sometimes I feel like I've already been to church. This is great. All right, let's see. We're going to try to keep Mary Kay up this morning, hopefully. I want you to watch this short. Collected 11 federal indictments, and she had 35 charges against her. It was at the Jefferson County Jail in Birmingham, Alabama, that Mary Kay encountered a Gideon Bible. While she was there, she read that verse that she told you about out of Ezekiel that changed her life. Amen. Well, Mary Kay was looking at, listen to this, 180 years of prison time. Imagine that, 180 years. But God reduced that to 6 years. She spent that at the Julia Tutwiler Prison for Women in Montgomery, Alabama. It was there that Mary Kay had a burden for the children of those female inmates and wanted to provide Christmas gifts when she got out for those children. A Christmas tree was put up at the Brookwood Mall in Birmingham, Alabama, with little ornaments shaped like what?
Angels.
Angels. An angel tree. That was the beginning of her ministry that she talked about, angel tree ministries. Well, 10 million. What is the significance of that number? That is the number of children that have been impacted by angel tree ministries here in the United States alone. And over the last 30 years. That sweet lady is now with the Lord, but her ministry continues today through Angel Tree Ministries. Well, let me share with you this morning a little bit about the Gideons, and then we're going to share some testimonies, or I am, about how God has impacted lives literally among many people, just a few of them that I'm going to share today. But the Gideons International is an association of Christian business and professional men, you probably knew that, who are members of local churches just like yours. For many of you, when you hear the name Gideons, you probably think about, hey, you're the guys that put those Bibles in the hotels and motels and that kind of thing, don't you? And we are. That's what we're best known for. But the Gideons International is such a whole lot more than that. Since 1899, can you imagine that? God has blessed this ministry for over 100 years. We must be doing something right a little bit, you would think. Over 100 years, God has blessed us with a single objective, and it hadn't changed from day one, to reach others for Christ. Through our personal witness that we have and our personal testimony that we have, to influence people in our homes, our workplaces, our churches. And out of that, it's been a natural outgrowth of maturing in Christ and strengthening our own testimonies. We and our wives, and my wife is in the back today. She's with me. But we place Bibles in what we call the traffic lanes of life. Well, that's really where we can encounter the most people, like hotels, hospitals, nursing homes. We also give testaments to students in schools, colleges, prisons, also to our police, our firemen, and medical personnel, as well as our men and women in the armed forces today. We encourage other Gideons and their wives to share the gospel at least once a week by using, hopefully all of us have a little testament like this with us that has in the front of it 34 of life's most pressing needs that they can look up for themselves. And of course, we have a decision page in the back of the testament where they can make that decision for Christ. Think about it right now. We're in 200 countries, territories, and possessions around the world today. And we publish scripture now in over 100 languages. Last year, coming out of COVID, it's been quite bad for all of us, so we're thankful that we're not having to deal with COVID now. But just think about last year. 70 million people were touched worldwide by the Gideon's International, by the scriptures that have gone literally around the world. Well, this morning, one of my favorite Bible verses is Hebrews 4:12. A lot of you probably know that. A lot of the translations will start out something like this: "For the word of God is living and active." I like the King James. Amen. Okay? King James, what does it say? It says it's quick and it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow. And it's discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. I'm going to share with you this morning a testimony about how God used one scripture to impact thousands, and literally probably hundreds of thousands at least, and maybe more. Here's the story. Tim Spencer. Tim Spencer had moved to Hollywood, California in 1931 to seek fame and fortune. At night, he'd make the rounds of the country shows, the clubs, dance halls, getting to know anybody in the music business. Tim soon met a couple of other men who wanted to be musicians just like him. One was named Leonard Sly from Ohio. The other one was named Bob Nolan. They put together a little group, and they called it the Pioneer Trio. Knowing that Leonard Sly just didn't fit in the music business, he had to change his name to something a little bit more familiar. How about Roy Rogers? Sound familiar? Okay. Their group added a fourth member, and they went on to be the Sons of the Pioneers, one of the most popular country and western groups of that time. Tim wrote the songs. The group had many number one songs. Tim had a very popular song during that time that was called "Cigarettes and Whiskey and Wild, Wild Women." You see, Tim was living that lifestyle. But guess what? He had a Christian wife named Velma praying for him, a member of the Hollywood Presbyterian Church. She shared with her pastor about the burden she had for her husband and for Tim to become a Christian. Her pastor suggested that she write letters, and in those letters put scripture verses, okay? Mail them to the next hotel that they would be staying at. Well, when Tim checked into a hotel in Hazleton, Pennsylvania in 1949, there was a letter with a scripture verse that really hit him. He looked in the room, and guess what? Found that Gideon-placed Bible. He looked up that verse, started reading it, and Tim Spencer was gloriously and marvelously saved in that hotel room. He became a new creation, and God gave him a new direction, new aspirations, and a sense of a greater purpose. Soon, Tim went into the music publishing business, and he founded Man of Music. In 1953, his son Hal attended a youth conference on missions. At the conference, they were singing a Swedish melody which contained some lyrics written by Stuart Hine, and it really stirred the youngster's heart. He asked if he could get a copy of it, give it to his dad. After some additional work on the song, it was recorded by a few different groups with little or no success. But in 1957, he gave that to another man, that very same song, that man just happened to be George Beverly Shea, who sang what? What we did this morning. How Great Thou Art, 99 times, hit the Billy Graham Crusade, Madison Square Garden, New York City. Mr. Shea performed that song, How Great Thou Art, literally thousands of times in venues all over the world. Touched thousands, hundreds of thousands of lives. And if you had a hymnal, a lot of the hymnals will have that in there. If you look at the bottom, it'll have the Rice Man of Music on there. But listen to this. Isn't it amazing to see how God uses his word in it? The Lord used a Bible in a hotel room that was placed by a faithful Guinean to reach a guy that wrote cigarettes and whiskey and wild, wild women, and turn around and use that same man to publish and print for worldwide distribution what many of us would consider the greatest song in Christendom today. I think you could say that that Bible made a difference, amen, didn't it? Well, one of the favorite testimonies that I have a friend, his name is Randy Smith. This in all places, he lives in Louisiana, and he really has the Cajun accent that goes with it. He had an opportunity to go on a what we call a scripture blitz to Porto Alegre, Brazil, a number of years ago. His job was to go to a university on a Friday night. They had three classes that they were to visit that night. Each class would have probably about 100 students, so that's a typical box of testaments is 100. So they're okay. Well, they go to the class, and they meet this professor, and he is so excited that they're there. He said, "Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! You've brought English testaments so we can learn English in this class." Randy says, "I'm sorry, we do not have English testaments." Of course, Brazil is a Portuguese-speaking country. "We have Portuguese." He said, "Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! You've brought English testaments so we can learn English. You don't understand. We've been praying for months for English testaments. You have brought them." Grabbed the box of 100 out from under Randy's arms, and he began to help give them to the students. Well, guess what? To Randy's surprise, his interpreter's surprise, when they got the Bibles out, they were English. The box was clearly marked Portuguese, but the Bibles inside were English. They got worried, okay? They had shipped 3,000 boxes to Brazil, and they thought, "Oh my goodness, there's English Bibles in these 3,000 boxes." But guess what? Closer inspection of the 3,000 boxes, one box in that classroom, praying for months that they would have English Bibles so they could learn English. Okay, so here's my question. It's real easy. Was that a mistake? Was that a divine appointment? I told Randy, brother, I said, "I wish I'd have been there and been able to experience the miracle." Of course, all of us know that if Jesus changed water into wine, he ain't got a better problem changing Portuguese testaments into English, does he? And he did that. So, okay, Gideons are very active here in our local area. If you didn't know it, we are. We're very active. Before COVID hit, we were probably distributing at least 3,000 or more locally in the Shelby County area. Very active in the county jail. We actually saw some 70 professions of faith come through there. I hate to tell you this morning that we can't get in our schools, okay? We can't, but we have to use other avenues. So we went to the county fair. We were able to give out scriptures at the county fair. And another avenue of distribution that we have today is called the Life Book. Since we can't get into schools, what we do is we ask our students through the youth pastors or a pastor of a church, you can order as many of these as you want. They're in the Gospel of John or the Gospel of Mark. And what we do is we make missionaries, okay, of our students. They can't stop them from giving these out. They can stop us from giving out the testament. They can't stop your children, your grandchildren, or whatever from giving a life book to another student. But let me tell you the impact that this is having. Here's the vision when this came out. They asked Carl Blunt. He's the one that pitched this to Lifeway, and they said, well, we're not really interested in that. You might want to talk to the Gideons. They might be interested in that. He did. So they asked Carl Blunt when he first started, what is your vision for the life book? He said, oh, if we can only do 1 million, that would be wonderful. How about since 2010, 29 million of these have gone out to our students, and God continues to bless this. In our local area, 5,300 have already been given out this year. Well, you know, our wives are a very important part of the work of the ministry. They provide the needed prayer support. Brother Cody talked about the women praying. When you get them praying, brother, something's going to happen, okay? We just need to join them, okay? But they distribute Bibles in physicians and dentist offices. They go to nursing homes, correctional facilities, domestic violence shelters for women, and they put them in the hands of nurses and other medical personnel. That's special for Sheila because she's a retired nurse, so that's special for her. During this convention weekend, we actually went out and flooded. I told Brother Cody the Birmingham metropolitan area with scriptures. We went to these doctors and dentist offices all over the area. And the area that I went to, look at this, just one little team, 95 offices were visited, 488 medical testaments were given out, 6 Spanish, 57 of our little testaments were given out, and 96 full Bibles were placed in waiting rooms there. We only had a couple of rejections. To me, that's good news. I could count them on one hand. I think maybe one or two that said, no, you can't put the Bibles in here. Let me tell you about Craig Groeschel. Craig Groeschel was a college student. He was attending a nominal Christian school, and as a publicity move, he was going to start a Bible study group that night. But guess what? He didn't even own a Bible. So he walked out of the dorm, going across the campus, and he runs into one of us guys, a Gideon. The Gideon looked at him and said, young man, would you like to have a free copy of God's Word? And Craig Groeschel thought to himself, well, man, if there's a God, he sure works fast. He took it, and he went back to his dorm. And this is what he read out of Ephesians 2:8-9. It says, For by grace are ye saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He got saved just like Mary Kay did. Amen. He got saved right then. Well, what's he doing today? How many of you Google? It can be good and bad. I say one hand. It can be good and bad. Okay. If you do a Google search on him, this is what you're going to find. You're going to find that he shows up under mega churches. fluctuates, probably about the third largest in the United States today. Life Church, does it sound a little bit more familiar? In Oklahoma, campus churches in five states, they have 30,000 visitors to the church every week, members and visitors. They reach 10 times that over the internet through live stream or whatever. He and some of his friends created a Bible app called YouVision. Does it sound familiar now? A little bit? Okay. First month, they had 30 million downloads. By 2017, that had reached 300 million downloads. Available in over 1,500 languages. He was told, you need to market that. You need to sell it, okay? Think about it. If he'd have just charged a dollar the first month, that'd have been 30 million. Or now 300 million. And this is what Craig said. You know what? My first Bible was given to me free by Gideon. My Bible's not for sale. Amen. If you look on the App Store, I don't care if you got an Android or an Apple product, it's free. Free, okay? Look at the impact that he's having today. And guys, it just all started with Gideon saying, young man, would you like to have a free copy of God's Word? And he said he did. Well, how many of you have ever heard of a TV commercial that, from a major credit card company that says, don't ever leave home without it? Well, that happened to me. Bill left home going to church without one of these in my pocket. I'm going to church. I won't ever need this. I did. Here's the story. This happened a little bit over a year ago when Sheila and I went to church, and it was right after we came out of COVID a little bit, so attendance is picking up. And at the end of the service, I noticed a young man came from the very back to the front to greet my pastor. His name was Michael. And I thought, this is wonderful. You know, he's come to join the church or, you know, something. He's making some kind of decision today or whatever. And then I saw my pastor with his arms around him, and he looked like he's doing this. And I thought, surely he's not motioning for me to come down there. Surely he's wanting another family member or maybe another staff member to come down there, so I ignored it. Well, guess what? The next time, he's staring me in the face with Michael. And he said, Bill, this is Michael. I need you to take him to one of the offices, pray with him, and I'll join you shortly. So I'm new. I don't know where anything in the church is, but the good thing is I showed up in the pastor's reception area in his office. So I'm talking to Michael, and Michael's pouring his heart out. And he says, man, I said, well, why are you here today? He said, well, man, I'm just messed up. I am messed up. I need to change my life. And I'm saying, yeah, we've all been there. You know, you can identify with that. You're identifying with him. And then finally, my pastor shows up, and he asks the question of Michael. He said, well, brother, where do you go to church? And then he said, well, sometimes I go to the Catholic church. Well, whoa. He says, and sometimes I come to the Baptist church with my girlfriend. I looked at Brother Tim, and he looked at me, and I thought, this guy, I don't think's a Christian. He needs to hear the gospel. And then he asked me the awful question. Bill, can you give Michael one of those Gideon New Testaments? And I thought, uh-oh, I don't have one. I thought, we're in Sheila's car. I'm not even sure She's got one. I said, let me go look. I went and looked, tore the card to pieces. I can't find a testament anywhere. So in the meantime, when I come back, he's in his office like one's going to miraculously appear, you know, a Gideon Bible. And I said, Brother Tent, while he's doing that, I said, I just don't have one. And then finally, the Holy Spirit just speaks to old Bill and says, Bill, guess what? Okay. Not Craig's out, but us guys, us Gideons, have got a Gideon Bible out. And guess what? This is in the phone. Says, Bill, just go, pull it up, go to that front of that, and share the gospel with Michael. And I did. And I knew that the Holy Spirit was just working on Michael. You could just tell it. And he moved quickly from, as we shared or as I shared with him, to confessing his sins. And I asked him, I said, Michael, are you ready to make a decision for Christ today? He said, I sure am. I said, right now? So we went through the sinner's prayer. We prayed. And he accepted Christ. So we rejoiced in that. And so that was a lesson for me. Don't ever leave home without it. Make sure that you got one on you, or at least in the car. Okay, the last testimony I'm going to share with you this morning actually was shared last night as we closed our convention downtown Birmingham. And this is from a pastor, okay? His name is John Tice. He's the children's minister at Church of Brook Hills. Actually, he shared it with us at our Gideon camp meeting, monthly camp meeting, but we got him to share it last night. But this is what happened, he said. He shared how he stole, okay, a Gideon Bible, and it changed his life forever, is what he said. He said, I was in the Marines, stationed at Camp Lejeune in North Carolina, getting ready for deployment. He said he was told, it's going to be a long trip, so what you need to do is make sure you got something to read, okay? Either on the plane or ever how they were going, to pass the time. So guess what John said? Just happened to be that Gideon Place Bible in the room.
Sorry.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. I thought I had that thing on mute. When I saw that thing turning, I thought, I hope Siri doesn't start, and she does. That's just the devil working. Let me tell you something. The devil loves technology, doesn't he? But anyway, he saw that Gideon Place Bible where he was staying, so he said, well, I'll just take that, okay? Packed it in his things, took the Bible with him out of the hotel room. Not knowing anything about the Bible, he said, guess what? You start in the beginning, don't you? So he starts in Genesis. He said, you know, I was doing pretty good till I got to Leviticus. He said, when I got there, he said, I just didn't understand anything I was reading, so I put it away. He said, when he got to his next duty station, he was watching a preacher on TV preaching on, of all things, Leviticus. Okay? He said the sacrifice that they were talking about would be replaced by that one perfect sacrifice in the name of Jesus Christ. He said at that point it all made sense. So he said he asked the Lord to forgive him, and he accepted him as his personal Savior. What John didn't know is that the Gideons is probably the only organization I know that says it's okay to take our stuff. You know, you can steal it if you want to. We'll go put another one in there. So we've heard many testimonies just like what happened to John. Okay. So here we are. We're at the end. Okay. How can you help us this morning? I'm going to mention a couple of them. First of all, we consider prayer very important. We as Gideons meet every Saturday morning. We pray together. We pray for your churches. We pray for our local churches. We pray for our pastors. So we would ask you to pray for us. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5:25 says, brethren, pray for us. So if you don't do anything else, you can pray, okay? Pray for us. And I don't know if you got anybody in the church that's interested in an extended area of service. You might want to be a Gideon, okay? Sheila and I have been members over 20 years, and God has blessed us so much. We've received so much by being a part of the ministry. The last thing, or one of the last things you could do, is use our card program. I brought you some cards this morning. They're in a display in the back. It's got some cards in there. I hate to say this, but during COVID, we got a lot of cards that came in to be given out in memory, okay? Got some in-memory cards back there in that display. Got some cards in recognition of a special event, maybe graduation, births, whatever, appropriate cards for that. Or maybe you just want to say you're praying for somebody, you know, donate some Bibles. Those are in that display back there also. But it's a good way where you can support us year round. And the monies that come in are able to buy scriptures. And then it's a great way when you give it, you send the word, and it changes lives. I've told you about a few of them today, haven't I? There's been some changed lives that we've talked about today. And lastly, you can support us by giving, you know. I wish I could tell you that Bibles don't cost anything, but they do, okay? But here's the good thing. We are good stewards of God's money. We pay the overhead, okay? The Gideons do through our membership dues. So think about this. You can place a scripture for about $1.25 and put it in the hands of someone like where we live in Columbiana, Alabama, all the way to mainland China. We were in China. We're not in there now, but when we were in there. But think about that. For about $1.25, purchase, place, and get it there. To me, that's kind of amazing to me. Or for $5, when you give cards in the back, if you give a $5 and buy one of these, okay, that goes in a hotel or a motel, I call it a little missionary. It just sits there, doesn't it? Kind of like a time bomb. You know, like Tim Spencer found out when he got there, read that scripture, went off, and he got saved. They have a lifespan. They last about 6 years. They'll reach about 2,600 people in their lifetime. And then we check them regularly. If they're in good shape, what we'll do, they won't let us put hard cover in prisons. So what we'll do is we'll tear these off, put a soft cover on it, and then guess what? We're going to give it a life sentence, put it back in a jail or a prison. And at that point, maybe somebody like a Mary Kay Beard, okay, going to read it, and it's going to change your life. Guys, Brother Cody, thank you, brother, for letting me come. Thank you guys for letting me come and tell you a little bit about the Gideons today. God bless you.